He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
And it is indeed, and I am going solo today as my partner Jay has decided to ski instead of come and help me do the show. So let's talk about 2022 and what's going on in the world of the automotive industry, besides things like rising chip shortages, which we've talked endlessly about for weeks. And it's going to continue, apparently, well into the 2022 model year as some companies try to make build new plants quickly, but they're all a year or two away. Production of existing chip supplies are not catching really up to the needs of the automobile world, that's for sure. And I don't know where else it's happening in the industry, but that's just a short topic discussion. What I want to talk about more is the visibility of new 2022 models showing up on our roads around the listening area and where I drive on a daily basis, which covers Litchfield County and Fairfield County quite a bit. I'll start out with the new Jeep Grand Cherokee, which is a staple in the old Jeep stable of Grand Cherokees, but it has been completely redesigned, and it has grown 4 inches in length, has a new front end, looking very much like the existing, in my opinion, the existing just regular Cherokee, which is a smaller version of the Grand Cherokee, but is a vehicle that I happen to be very fond of, as listeners to the show know. But not only is it showing up on the roads, because it's taken a while to get to from production to the dealers because of chip shortages, but it seems to be showing up on the road and more quickly now in reasonably larger numbers. The Grand Wagoneer, which is a version, an upscale version of the Grand Cherokee L, by quite a pricey rise above the Grand Cherokee L's, although they can get to be close to six-figure asking prices, although they still seem to stay below the six-figure range, whereas the Grand Wagoneer is now over $100,000 for several models. It's a nice-looking vehicle, and is, I have been able to talk to a few owners that I have run into, and they are very pleased with the new Grand Cherokee model that they have purchased, which is, as I said, 4 inches longer than the outgoing one. But the outgoing one is still a very, very, very loved vehicle by their owners. And I know several people who are not planning on probably upgrading their old Grand Cherokee to the new one because they like the old one so much better. But that happens in lots of cases. I have participated in that kind of feeling where the older model is more desirable than the newer model of a vehicle line. With my 2013 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid, which, first of all, has the best body style in the Sonata line that I have seen since the Sonatas got significantly redesigned from their pre-2011 change and design change. There is nothing that is better, in my opinion, with the exterior design of the Sonata Hybrid Hyundai Sonatas than that 2011 to 2015 model year before they changed it. Design factor, and I will not ever probably upgrade this car, which is still running strong. Well, let's see, it's a 13, it's 22, 9 years later. We then go to pickup trucks. The 2022 Toyota Tundra has been significantly redesigned, both outside and inside, with a much new, more modern, huge front grille. And I have now, in the last few days, seen, a half a dozen of those trucks appearing on the road. So they are reaching dealers, and they are being leased, purchased, or otherwise obtained by people who like the Toyota Tundra pickup trucks, which are highly rated. They've lost the V8 engine, which was a very popular engine in the older versions of it, in favor of a six-cylinder variant. I think it's turbocharged, supposed to get better mileage. But pickup trucks in general do not get very good mileage, no matter what model you get. First of all, they are not particularly aerodynamic in most cases. Therefore, they do not flow through the atmosphere in an aerodynamic way, which helps mileage on some cars. And they are also very much used by for business purposes, which have them carrying loads and doing a lot of stop and start driving, which does not get a pickup truck very good mileage at any level of operation compared to the passenger car sector of our automotive world. Needless to say, pickup trucks are going to be coming out in electric versions shortly. Ford is going to be one of the first manufacturers with a fully electric pickup truck, although General Motors will not be far behind, nor will Stellantis, formerly Chrysler, and probably Toyota and even Nissan, the latter of which is a very minor player in the pickup world at both the full-size pickup truck design level and their what you have to call mid-size pickup truck level, which has also been completely redesigned. In any event, the Tundra is now showing up on the roads, as I just said. New for Ford is a smaller and much beloved by the press Ford Maverick, which is a pickup truck that's going to start at a entry-level price of somewhere around $20,000 to $21,000 when they really get going with it. I believe it is on the road. I think I have seen one at a dealer near our listening area, but I'm not quite sure whether it was a Maverick because I didn't get to see it before it disappeared from the lot. So it arrived, if it was a Maverick, which is a hybrid pickup truck already electrified in a big way. It's going to be a very, very popular pickup truck for those who don't need the mid-size or the full-size pickup truck. Not the least important part of it is being its mileage ratings are going to be sort of extraordinarily terrific for a pickup truck designed vehicle. It is small, therefore it is much lighter. It does has a four-cylinder engine, I believe, along with an electric hybrid drivetrain, and or a fully electric one will probably be out before long. But it is going to be a neat truck for those of us who way back in last century drove Ford Couriers and Mazda pickup trucks, both built by Mazda but labeled Fords, of which I had two in my lifetime. And they were obviously a great pickup truck. They were four cylinders. You could get them with a four-speed floor-mounted transmission. And they didn't hold, you know, they couldn't tow 10,000-pound trailers and the like of the big trucks. But they were certainly good for garbage runs and minor needs, more minor needs like that than the big trucks are. And they disappeared quite a long time ago, and as the compact, what would now be called a compact pickup truck, grew into a mid-sized pickup truck, and they were not replaced until now Ford is bringing back a compact pickup truck in the form of the Maverick. The Ranger pickup truck, which is Ford's version of the mid-sized pickup truck, they might like to try and call it small, but it's really sort of mid-sized, is going to have a Raptor version of it. Anybody who knows about the Ford Raptors will know what the Ranger Raptor will be like in terms of an upgrade of capabilities from the standpoint of driving and rough style driving, I guess you'd call it. But I have not yet seen a Ranger Raptor on the road. I'm not sure when it's coming. But one of the things that those of us who are really into cars and trucks can tell when their new trucks or new vehicles are on the road is by what we see exterior changes to the front ends and in many cases the rear ends of many cars and trucks that are out there. And in the truck world, the front faces include the grills and in many cases the hoods, in General Motors' case, the hoods of their trucks, because their Silverados and even the GMC versions are coming out with rather beefy-looking front ends with hoods that look like they have simulated air scoops on the front, on the top of the hoods, and other design factors. But the truck world is changing in a very quick fashion from the standpoint of trying to maintain their popularity with the people who like pickup trucks. The problem with pickup trucks, and I'm going to move into the situation about rising the current radical rise in fuel costs for all vehicles, is that because their mileage ratings hover around 20 miles per gallon, if you're lucky, to below that, and the tanks are, in many cases, 35-gallon capacity, with gas at right now that has been in the between the 4 and the 5-gallon range, dollars, you know, per gallon range on the East Coast, and frighteningly higher prices on the West Coast, if you watch the news programs where you see $7 on the pumps when they show a flash of a gas station or out in California, for example, is you do the math and multiply 30 gallons, let's say, as an average by $7 a gallon, it's a $200 more or less fill-up cost for these pickup trucks at each. And this is for regular grade gasoline. The other issue with the high gas prices that are currently going to affect a lot of people is the rush to electric cars. And nobody's worrying about whether or not there's enough electricity to recharge all these cars, but now everybody wants to get an electric car. And I can just see Tesla owners, and I use Tesla as a generic electric car discussion name because Teslas have been here now for 6 or 7 years, and they are by far the most populous electric car on the road, are probably just grinning every time they pass a gas station and don't have to think about ever putting gasoline in their vehicles. Because I know that the cost to recharge electric cars right now is not rising stratospherically, I guess, if that's even a proper term, like the gas prices have. And the gas prices have fallen, incidentally, I will say, in some cases as much as 10 cents a gallon I've seen at some of the pumps I've been monitoring over this last couple of months. But still, they're still generally over $4 a gallon.
You know the saying, goes up like a rocket, comes down like a feather.
That's right.
I have been, so the squad knows, I have been interacting with the company that supplies the Extra Mart in Sharon and complaining vociferously. And I will say the most interesting. So it went. The ceiling was $4.49, and then they brought it down 10 cents. And
it's now down to, I think, $4.37.
No, $4.39, and there
it
remains.
May have come down beyond that, unless it was $4.39 this morning.
But it was.
In any event,
but it all the important thing is that most interesting anecdotal experience is there was a gentleman, you know, as I was muttering under my breath about how it was, going up, he said, well, it's more expensive in Europe. We should consider ourselves lucky.
Well, yeah.
So I'm
you
just,
could also
I'm
say
just
the
saying,
same thing about the West Coast prices versus the East Coast prices.
But, doesn't make it any less wrong.
You see on the news programs, and this is just a side comment, of when they interview people who are complaining about what the cost of filling up their tanks are, what we don't know when we're talking to those people is whether they are driving cars which require premium fuel versus regular fuel or not. And, of course, premium fuel is always priced higher, and in many cases, at the majors, away from the buying club gas prices, which seem to be holding it very the premium price relatively close by comparison to the major brands that where their premium is sometimes as much as 60% or 70%, 70 cents a gallon higher than the regular, which are already at the 4.49 range, or you know, the low 40s to mid 44 dollar ranges. Those people have to put premium in, so they think. Now, it's my contention that you don't have to put premium in many of the cars which come with labels on their gas filler neck saying premium recommended. The word recommended should be taken very seriously because it is not the same as the word required, which some cars are required to use premium, apparently, according to the manufacturer's suggestions. Recommended means it'll give you the best theoretical performance if you use the premium grade recommended, as opposed to the ability to be able to put mid-grade or even regular-grade gasoline in, and the car will operate basically just fine. Now, there are a lot of people out there that claim that they get better gas mileage using premium and get better performance. And I will say, in their defense, that in some cases with some models of cars, there is definitely a differential between the performance characteristics of an engine using premium versus regular, because the computers in these cars change the operational characteristics of engines depending on what the fuel rating is that they use in the car. So they can change, the computers can change the timing, they can change the power output and all that, depending on what octane rating gasoline is being fed into the cylinders from the gas tank that you have filled at these exorbitant prices. But in any event, if ever there was a cause to not have a gasoline-powered car or a diesel-powered vehicle, let's talk about diesel fuel. It is over $5 a gallon at every pump I have seen so far in the last several weeks around our listing area. I think the lowest I've seen has been $5.09 or $5.07, but I've seen it as high as $5.35, maybe even higher than that. And diesel, of course, was always touted as giving much better mileage in vehicles. And our partner in this show, Jay DeMarkin, runs a diesel-powered Volkswagen Touareg, which he has praised many times on this radio station about how great it has been and how much, you know, mileage per gallon, miles per gallon rating he gets using diesel fuel in a like version that uses gasoline fuel. And he's been right. And I used to have a VW diesel, called a wagon back in 2010. And I got 40-plus miles a gallon with that vehicle when those gasoline versions were getting in the low 30s. Diesel was not as, diesel was more highly priced than regular back then, too, but not by the spread that it is today. And I love that car. The engine was terrific, but diesel is no longer giving the advantages to diesel users. I think that in terms of the cost to operate the vehicle today, the way it was 20 years ago. But the rising prices discussion continues to the rising prices of vehicles, new and used. The war has caused problems for the manufacturers in that Ukraine as a country has apparently been a supplier of harnesses and other automotive components much used by many of the at least European manufacturers of cars, which I was not aware of until the articles that started popping up saying that along with the chip shortage problem, there are other component shortages developing because of where some of the components are sourced for major production numerically for the automotive makers of vehicles. And the other component that's going up in price is aluminum, steel, and in a lot of other areas. So new car prices, we talked a couple of shows before this one about how the average price is apparently in the mid-40s now, of if you add all of the, if you average the cost of all the cars that are being sold today in this country. And we were talking probably a year ago at that figure being in the mid-30s. I don't think the prices are going to come down once the component shortage ends. You may be able to negotiate a price off a sticker price once this happens, but it may not be for some time to come. And because of the new car prices going up, used car prices would theoretically be more attractive, but they've been climbing too, as many people who have followed the news know, and or people who have been going out to buy shopping for used cars know when they go out shopping for vehicles, whether new or used. And right now, the manufacturers seem to have an advantage over independent sellers of cars in the financing situation, if you can afford the new car prices, because I see many offers on TV now still offering 0% financing, and that's for 72 months. And it's in the pickup world that I saw the latest 0% financing offer for 72 months. I don't know whether it's Ford, Chevrolet, or Stellantis, but it doesn't really matter. You still divide the cost of a pickup truck, which is loaded the way they come off the assembly line with features that make their costs up well above a $40,000 possible base price for some of the pickup trucks that are available. You divide that by 72 months before you add interest, and you can see the monthly payments are just really up there. And so we are not going to see, I don't think, a reduction in the cost of cars change anytime soon, even if the production limitations caused by whatever reason, supply of chips, supply of materials, starter motors, whatever, get back to normal, because the cost of materials are going up. And this is happening in the battery, the electric car world as well. Cost of batteries to produce, to put in the electric cars are going up. It's just, I don't know how we can sustain our ability to buy the vehicles at the prices that are being offered currently and probably into the future as we go forward into the next decade, towards the next decade. Let's see.
You've got a minute left. So.
Okay. Well, I was just going to finish with the electric cars.
Well,
people are really just excited about electric cars. And I guess I could finish this minute by saying the other thing, which we discussed in a recent show also, the miserable condition of the roads around our listening area continues. And I passed a New York State Department of road work doing pothole patching on 22 this morning, and you know they're doing it because when you pass them and you continue up the road where they have come from and you hear loose asphalt clunking up against the bottom of your car because your tires are running over where they put the asphalt in, that's what's going on. But our roads are in miserable shape, and they're going to stay that way until we get some of this money put into significant road repair, which is needed sorely.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.